Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Right Club. The first rule of Right Club is you don't talk about Right Club, but we'll make an exception in your case.
Hello and welcome to Right Club, the podcast for writers and readers everywhere. Today I'm joined by Pat, Nicola, Linda and Steph.
Hello.
Hi. Hi.
We've been meeting as a writing group for a little over a year now, but we decided we'd like to involve other writers as well. And that's how Write Club the Podcast was born. You'll be hearing a little more about that and about all of us later in the show. Also, this week on Write Club, we're going to talk about how we flex our writing muscles and sharing our top tips for writing workouts. Linda wants to talk to us about one of her pet hates, and Steph and Nicola are going to tell us what's on their bedside tables. But first, Pat is going to ask us to
name the novel.
Okay. Are you all ready with pen and paper?
Yep.
I'm going to give you three clues, and you have to name the novel as quickly as you can. But don't shout out the answer. Just let me know when you think you've got it. You ready?
Yep.
Okay. First clue. It's a first-person narrative by an American adolescent who feels the world is an alien, hostile place run by phonies.
Phonies, I know this one.
The first line is, if you really want to hear about it, the first thing you'll probably want to know is where I was born and what my lousy childhood was like and how my parents were occupied and all.
Yeah, I know what it is, but I can't remember what it's called.
And all that David Copperfield kind of crap. But I don't feel like going into it if you want to know the truth. Mm-hmm. And the third clue, sadly, some people may only know the book through its association with John Lennon's murderer, Mark Chapman, mm-hmm. who was apparently obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that
he's got a crush on the headmaster's daughter. I can't remember what it's called.
I can tell you, I haven't got a clue at all.
The Catcher in the Rye.
That's right. Yes.
Oh,
well done.
Yeah. And can I confess, I've never read it.
That's one from the bedside table list.
Yeah. Well, I chose that because it's probably the first book I remember that made me want to read it because of that first line.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a teenager. I was about 15, 16, and you read that.
Into phony parents,
That David Copperfield kind of crap really grabbed me.
Yeah. That sounds very modern, doesn't it? That sounds very modern.
Yeah, I just wonder, though, would it appeal to teenagers as much now as it did then? That was like the late 60s.
We don't have that kind of generation gap thing so much now.
But I think they're still disillusioned with the authority
and everybody thinks their parents are phonies.
Yeah.
And he thought his brother had sold out as well, didn't he? Because his brother had gone to New York and become a screenwriter, and he thought his brother had sold out to Hollywood and was chasing the buck and that kind of thing.
And the other thing that occurs to me, Pat, do you think reading it now as an adult it would have the same impact, or is it a book that really you have to read at that time in your life?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, maybe I should give it a go.
Or maybe I should, as I've never read it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay, thank you, Pat. As I said at the start of the show, all of us here in the studio are members of a writing group, and we want to engage with other writers, so we should get to know one another. Sadly, we're missing one of our members today. We're thinking of you, Heather. Get well soon.
Get well soon, Heather.
So, I'm Teresa Stoker. I learned to write at an early age, but only started writing seriously about 10 years ago. So far, I've earned £54.
Ooh, for me.
I write stage comedies, short stories, and I've started a couple of novels. I occasionally enter writing competitions, and I've been lucky a couple of times. My short comedy play, The ISD Odysseus Writers' Circle, won the Blackpool Grand Words Prize about 4 years ago, and I won the RAC's short story competition in 2014 with my 1,000-word story, Passengers. If you're into Amdram, you can find the script of Murder at Cummerbund Hall, an early spoof murder mystery of mine, at the Comedy Plays UK website. But enough about me. Over to you.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Rouse. I'm most often called Steph. I've been a bit of a scribbler all my life. I started off writing plays in which I starred and directed and made my poor family sit and watch me when I was very small, but ever since I've written diaries, letters, stories, poems, blogs. When the internet was invented, I found another way to write. I just can't stop. And it's as Ernest Hemingway once said, he said, once writing has become your major vice and greatest pleasure, only death can stop it. So I guess that's what I've got to look forward to. I've always been a bookworm too. When I was a child, my mother was forever telling me to get my head out of a book and get out and get some fresh air. In recent years, I've done some online creative writing courses. Writing and reading are things which completely absorb me. I'm currently nearing the completion of my first full-length novel called Hellinglie, after the Sussex village in which it's set. I say nearing completion, I'm not quite sure when it'll ever be finished, but I'm nearly there. When I'm not writing or reading, I like to cook, and I like nothing better than to fill a table with good food and have some friends around and sit around and have some lively conversation. Nothing quite like it, is there? Over to you.
Oh, well, I'm Nicola Cairncross, and I eat books. My mother taught us to read before we went to school, I suspect so she could lock us in our rooms and leave us to it. I've read my way through the entire children's section of my local library by the age of 8, and that's where I discovered my passion for science fiction, via the 41-book Discworld series by Terry Pratchett. My favourite author of all time, though, is the sadly departed Ian M. Banks, who wrote the culture novels. Absolutely love those. I remember the name of my English teacher earlier, Mr. Neil, who at the tender age of 15 or 16 told me I would never pass my English O-levels, and he made me pay to enter them. My mother forked over 21 quid, I think it was, for the two exams, and I promptly got A's in both of them. So this is for you, Mr. Neil. I've blogged for years, and I've written 5 business books, but I never thought I'd be able to write a novel. I just didn't think I had it in me. I was initially fired up by Daphne Capsali's 100 Days of Solitude, which I think is quite beautiful writing. And then being invited to join Write Club just after I got here helped me enormously. I had a glimmer of an idea back in January, and it's now working its way out of me. So it's a sci-fi, of course, but I've planned out 3 books, not just one. Why not go in with a bang? Called the Taurus Trilogy, which I'm looking forward to writing.
Hi, I'm Pat Wolfe, and I'm trying hard to get back to writing. As a child, like Steph and Nicola, I think, I was a voracious reader and a keen writer. I did actually win at one competition, I seem to remember, when I was about 10, and I won a box of Cadbury's. And that's the heights of my literary achievement.
Not quite 54 quid, though, is it?
So, yeah, doesn't make £54. But as so often happens after that, life got in the way and I kind of lost the habit. However, I was a teacher of English and drama for many years, and I've frequently produced material for students to perform. There was a dearth of sort of good material. And so I'd write sketches, soliloquies, one-act plays, one of which won a local competition, so that was another one, that sort of thing. There was also odd short prose pieces, usually as exemplars for student writing. I do think that although I've not written continuously during the years, I have still maintained something of a writer's mind. I've often found myself mentally filing away characters, situations, snippets of conversation for future reference. So now I have more time, I'm dipping into that filing cabinet, and it's just a case of waiting and seeing what comes out of it. Linda.
Oh, well, I'm the only American in the group, if you can't tell. And my love of reading began in a one-room schoolhouse down in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains in Tennessee. And my father was a Pentecostal holiness preacher, and the only book I had access to in the house was the Holy Bible, King James Version, the only one worth reading. At school, I read voraciously. Though Miss Alora, the teacher, brought library books from the nearest library in town. The nearest town was Gainsborough, and every month she'd go and bring a car full of books back and take them back the next month. But among the ones she brought was a fictionalized biography of Louisa May Alcott's childhood. I loved that book. I read it over and over and over, and I think it was then that I knew I wanted to write. Much later, I did my undergraduate work at the University of Rhode Island, earned my master's degree in creative writing at Brown University. Yay, me. I won scholarships to a couple of really excellent writers' conferences. I published a couple of short stories, but I only got paid with extra copies of the, of the publication. And I received a grant from the Rhode Island State Council on the Arts. I planned to write the Great American Novel then, but that didn't happen.
Yet.
Yeah. My internal editor, a heartless saboteur, crawled into my right frontal lobe armed with a jackhammer and tortured me whenever I sat down to write. It was too painful. I had to eat. So I was fortunate to get a job at a small publishing house in Providence, Rhode Island. I enjoyed every single day I was there. It was exciting work. And in time, I became a senior managing editor. Now I'm retired. I've muzzled the saboteur. He's not dead, but severely crippled. I've written about 50 pages of my novel and plan to finish it by, next week, Thursday. That's about it for me.
Why is it whenever you talk about your childhood, Linda, I think she must be making it up? thanks, everyone. So now you've heard about us, you're welcome to join our Facebook group, Write Club the Podcast, and introduce yourself. We'd love to hear from you and get to know you better. Just get onto Facebook and look for Write Club the Podcast. Click to join. You'll find interviews with all of us, lots of links for websites and other writerly resources. By the way, I've noticed on Facebook that when I type learnt, it's corrected to learned. What's going on?
Well, you silly Brit. You know? Learned, it's a regular verb. You know, it has an ED on the end. Learnt is not. You didn't learn anything in school, did you?
You learned.
And things were burnt.
Well, things are burnt.
And meant.
But they can also be burned. And things are meant. They can also be intended. And just for the record here, you know, Stephanie, you pronounce the title of your novel, Helen Lye. It's Helen Lee, L-Y on the end. Helen, I don't know. You know, people, my friends in America, anyone who's listening who's American, is not going to be able to understand half of what's going on here. You don't know how to talk.
We'll explain it.
Thanks, Linda. Well, that's given us something to think about. Now, one of the things we do when we meet as a writing group is a free write. This is a 10-minute session where we choose a topic, word or phrase at random and just write. No thinking, no planning, just do it. We've had lots of fun with it. Linda, you're a great fan of the free write. Why do you think it works so well?
Well, first thing it does, it's free us up right at the beginning of the session. If you just start having to write something, because we only have 10 minutes and you don't want to be the only job being out, so you start writing, you don't think about it, and it's amazing what comes out. I mean, Teresa has come out with some wonderful stories in these just 10 minutes. It's just a freeing exercise. It's great.
Okay. So what do you do to flex the writing muscle if you don't have someone to give you a prompt? Nicola, how about you?
Oh, I love a good deadline, me. I mean, especially if it's, the possibility of winning something. I'm a very competitive person, so when you started talking about competitions, that really got my interest. But the free write for me, I mean, I'm a real newbie to this group, and I'm actually a really newbie to the whole writing thing creatively. And I find, I never thought I'd just be able to dash off a story in 10 minutes, but it's been liberating, and the best thing about it is it's bringing up memories that I could write about, and really bringing up lovely memories, you know, funny stories, sad stories. So it's unlocking that well of creativity for me.
And has anybody gone on to develop anything from a free write, or have you just sort of left them?
I put all mine on the blog.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm the only one in this group that's fearless about sharing.
You don't waste
it. I don't actually care.
I put one on my blog. I did put one on my blog because everybody said, that was, I really enjoyed that. That was good. But no, I need to know that it's absolutely top hole before I put it out there. Yeah. I'm a bit shy like that.
I've put a couple into my filing cabinet.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Well, I don't
ready for future reference.
I don't have a blog, do you, Pat?
No,
not yet. But you do have a Facebook page now, Linda. You can put, you can share your stories there now.
Linda Jack and Moreland, the writer.
Mm. And Pat, do you have any particular prompts that you like or writing exercises?
I think the one that works for me the best, apart from the deadline and with Nicola on that one, are the interview, the character strategies, like Proust's character questionnaire, where you do a full biography.
Yeah.
And
it gives you that in-depth
and it just makes you sort of develop the character, but it not only informs your writing, it actually gives you material to actually put in there as well. So I do find sometimes it sends me off in directions I hadn't expected.
I sometimes find if I'm stuck, which happens a lot, that I will write a letter from one character to another to really sort of try and get inside the character. That sometimes brings up some ideas.
That's a good one.
And the other thing I like to do is to have characters that are not the main characters having conversations about the scene. Two passers-by observing the scene
and
that can sometimes bring up good ideas as well. That helps me kind of limber up.
Yeah, very good. And I would have thought the letters, again, potentially that might actually be something that would end up in
you could use it,
because obviously
it's quite a good device to get yourself away from the point of view that you're writing in by just throwing a letter in from somebody. Yeah.
Right.
And I found it useful sometimes to just get into an argument with my characters. You know, when everything is stopped, I'll say, why don't you do something? And they'll say, well, tell me what to do.
Oh, very good. Well, that leads into something I was going to talk about, which is Rory's story cubes, because I'm sure some of the listeners are familiar with them. Like dice, but instead of numbers, you have little pictures on the faces. And the set that I've got depicts actions. So if you don't know what to do with a character next, you can look at the pictures and say, oh, there's somebody having a fight, for example. Maybe they're going to have a fight or whatever. You can choose something. And that can give you, you know, push the narrative on a little bit.
Morning pages. Anybody read the morning pages?
Yeah.
And she says you should get up every morning and do a free write, basically. Yeah. Just do, I think it might be half an hour.
Oh, without coffee?
No, I always
that's not
have
possible.
A cup of tea first.
Just a free write or in relation to your characters and your story?
It's The Artist's Way,
that's
the name of the book.
Mm. Julia Cameron?
Julia Cameron. It was all about, you know, kind of unleashing your creativity, getting your juices flowing.
Mm.
And it was literally up in the morning and write.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take your pen off the page. You could write utter drivel, stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
But it was all about just
liberating
your imagination and getting your juices going.
One of
All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. All work and no play makes. And remember The Shining, Jack Nicholson?
Yeah. I did write a journal every day from January the 18th, 2011. I remember it particularly. I was in a really dark place and I started journaling every single day. Mm. So the first thing I would do was open my moleskin diary and just start
moleskine,
writing.
Moleskine, that might be American.
Moleskine. Anyway, and I'd just start writing about how I felt. And I've got to say, over the next 2 or 3 years, it really helped.
Yeah.
And then my partner, Judith, my podcast partner, she blogged every single day for a year. On business, you know, and she said that you get into a really good discipline when you know that you've got to do one every day.
Right. Okay. Pat, you were going to say something.
I was just going to say that sometimes if I'm getting a little bit stuck, and I don't know whether it's the drama background, but I'll sometimes just do the dialogue, I'll do conversations.
Yeah.
I find that easier, and then I can go back and work in
what
he said, she said.
And some people just write dialogue, don't they? That's sort of Elmer Leonard type thing. It's just the dialogue that drives it along.
Yeah.
Well, if you write the dialogue and then go back later and put in the body language and the action, but I sometimes find dialogue's quite a good starting point.
Yeah.
Very
good. Mm. Okay. Well, lots of great ideas there. Thanks. We'll be posting links to the appropriate resources in Write Club, the podcast, private group on Facebook, so please join us there. Well, it's nearly time to wrap up for this week, but before we do, there's just time for Nicola and Steph to tell us what they're reading at the moment. So, Nicola, what's on your bedside table?
Well, what was on my bedside Kindle was a book recommended by my... And I'm glad I bought it on the Kindle because I didn't. You actually brought a physical copy and it's quite a chunky beast, isn't it?
Oh, four, I know what you're going to talk about.
4321.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to talk about it because I'm afraid, worthy as it is, as was it runner-up in the Booker Prize or something, mm-hmm. I find it really dull. And I don't care. I don't care. It's dull and I'm not reading it. I've moved on to a new writer who I've just got into called Peter F. Hamilton, and he's written a series of books called The Dreaming Void, The Temporal Void, and there's another one whose name escapes me. But it's really interesting because it's set in a future and there is a closed universe that is far off, and some guy in the like UK kind of America kind of, you know, country, he starts channeling the dreams of one of the inhabitants of this far off universe. And everyone in the Federation, as it is then, gets into it like a soap opera.
Oh.
And it's interesting because all of the people in the Federation are very futuristic, but it's very medieval, the dreams he's channeling. And everyone's watching their past and it becomes like a cult. And everyone is really rooting for this guy that they're all watching. But nobody knows who he is. Nobody knows which world he's on. And it just becomes like this soap opera and then a cult. And it's just such an interesting concept that this guy is sort of being watched through his dreams and he doesn't have any concept that a whole galaxy is watching him.
Wow, sounds fascinating.
It is, yeah.
And complex.
Yes, well, sci-fi does that.
Yeah. Before I move on to Steph, I must just stick up for Paul Auster's 4321. I know it's not for everyone, but it is a brilliant, stunning book. And do
brilliant, stunning book. It's got no dialogue.
There's a lot of detail, but I find that quite compelling. It makes it's like uber realistic, in a way. And of course, it's not realistic because there are some strange things going on there. But
I haven't got to that bit. I just keep thinking, when's something going to happen?
Tastes differ, but for our listeners, do give it a go.
I have to say, Captain Corelli's Mandolin, which I now consider to be one of the best books I've ever read, certainly in my top five, it took me 3 attempts to get to that. I kept starting it and I just couldn't get on with it, and people kept saying, oh, you must read it, it's brilliant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when I did eventually get into it, I could not put it down, but it did take me several runs.
I'll keep trying, and every time I run out of a decent book, I'll try again.
Okay, so Steph, what are you reading?
Right, on my bedside table at the moment is a book, a debut novel by Alice Feeney called Sometimes I Lie. And I'm just going to read you the kind of cover because to me this sums it all up. My name is Amber Reynolds. So the protagonist is Amber Reynolds. My name is Amber Reynolds. There are 3 things you should know about me. 1, I'm in a coma. 2, my husband doesn't love me anymore. 3, sometimes I lie.
Oh, dear.
And so the narrator is in a coma and he's telling the story of what happened between now and before from the deep coma. It's really hard to talk much more about it without giving away some of the terrific twists and turns, but I just thought it was a lovely idea to have somebody in a coma telling a story and witnessing the people coming in to see them and talking about the nurses, overhearing the nurses' conversations, you know, just being from that point of view. But I'm really enjoying it.
Right at the beginning, she's undermined, or her own narrative is undermined.
Yes, by saying
so you don't know if she's in a coma, you don't know if anything is true that she says.
No, it does sometimes. Yeah. The name of the book is Sometimes I Lie, but that's the kind of opening. My name is Amber Reynolds. Sometimes I Lie. Really enjoying it.
Sadly, that's the end of Write Club, the podcast for this week. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher so every new show is automatically delivered wherever you want it. And please take a few minutes to leave us a review. Links to all the books and other resources mentioned will be available on the Facebook group. We'd like to thank Kate Cocker, the presenter coach, and John Banting of JRB Music for their help in launching this podcast. And we hope you'll join us again next week. Goodbye.
Bye.